What is Shara Bitochen? Chavez Halavavez, Shara Habitochen, Perek Dalid. In my lifetime edition, it's page Shin Mem Aleph. Aval Perush HaChelek HaShlishi. We've spent a lot of time talking about Bitochen when it comes to Parnasa, and that is really the first thing that comes to mind when we talk about Bitochen. But now, the Chavis HaLavavis is going to apply it to quite a number of other areas in life that we might not necessarily think of as immediately relevant to the sugya of Bitochen. Let's see. So, Avoteinu Shachelek HaShlishi, the third field of life that we have to apply Bitochen to is the Haim. In Yonei Yishtoi, I'll say in an overarching way, a person's social and familial affairs. In Yonei Yishtoi Ubanov Uvnei Beisai, the affairs relating to your wife, your children, your household members, Ukroivav, your relatives, the Oyavov, the Oyvav, Umyudav, Umakirov, and your friends, your enemies, your acquaintances, Vasha Lamala Mimenu, and people who are over you. There are other dynamics as well. An employer, a king, people who are above you in the social system. Vasha Lamata Mimenu, people who are under you. A disciple, again, an employee, a subject. Mikito is bnei adam, among people. So, as we're going to start seeing, there's all kinds of areas for bitachon there as well. So, afnei yosha bitachon ala lelekim bahem. When it comes to all these relationships, all of these social systems, here are also realms for bitachon to understand that here as well, the dynamics in your life, the relationships in your life, are also all a part of Hashem's plan for you. Your social reality, your family reality, etc. Let's see. Kasha Asapim. He said, so the way to properly apply Bitochen in this field is as follows. So, we start by saying as follows. She'ein adam nimlat me'echad mishnei dvarim. Everybody falls into one of two categories, and there can be different degrees, but one of two categories. Sheyeh Nachri. You can have a person who's a loner. Or you can have a person who's part of a family. So that's number one. You can have a person, a loner, person who lives on his own, doesn't have family. And then you have a person who's part of a family. So we start by breaking it into these two groups. Im yeh nochri, it says if a person is a loner, yetzivusay beleikav be'eis ishtayim emusay. So this is a more lonely life and would naturally be thought of as a less fortunate life. But the Chavis HaLavavis says, note the advantages and the opportunities in such a life. You can have a much more intimate relationship with Hashem. You can really bring yourself to a place where He is your primary company. He is the one you are primarily spending your time with. You're primarily confiding in. I want to note something from last week's parsha. This is an amazing point that Rav Hirsch says. Now I'm talking about a woman who was part of a very big, happening, lively family, and yet she was lonely. I'm talking about Leah. Rav Hirsch notes a very interesting paradox, an apparent paradox. Leah was the less beloved of the two wives, right? She was wife number two. Kind of like the B'dieved. Who would we name as the greatest tribes of Klal Yisrael? Probably the first two that would come to mind are Levi and Yehuda, right? In terms of prestige, in terms of success. Yosef and Binyamin were also successful Shvatim. But I think that we would say the ones who really made their mark on history, the ones who really hit highest were Levi and Yehuda, right? You have Malchus, the Shevet of Malchus, the Shevet of Kehuna, David HaMelech, Aaron HaKohen, Moshe Rabbeinu. So our first note, isn't it ironic that these came from the quote-unquote Chalila? I'm saying Chas V'Shalom before I say this, but the great B-wife? So our first says something amazing. Our first says something amazing. When a wife, today, nobody knows the experience of being a second wife. And that's a very good thing. But the pain of being the less favored wife is very great. And this was a pain that she carried around constantly. Now, you can be sure that Yaakov Avinu was not snubbing her. Shama Aleikim Kisnua Anoichi. It was a type of thing that was very, very subtle and nuanced. But she sensed it. And she says, Shama Aleikim Kisnua Anoichi. Hashem sensed it too. Meaning this is not something that a human being might even detect. But as the woman herself, she certainly did sense it. A woman can sense that. And she said that Hashem sensed it too. And therefore, she was part of a large happening household, but she was lonely. And Rav Hirsch says, she took her sorrow, she took her feelings of loneliness, she took her feelings of rejection, and she took them to Hashem. She took them to Hashem. She would communicate with him regularly. She would communicate with him intimately. And she formed a very deep and profound relationship with Hashem. And the children that we see, there are three partners in a person, right? There's the mother, there's the father, and there's Hashem. The very successful children that she produced, and the quantity of them, were a reflection of the very special role of the third partner in that three-way relationship. Her special connection with Hashem resulted in him showing her this special favor, and that was the result of her being the less favored, the rejected, the lonely wife in the relationship. So this is not exactly our subject, but it is the point that the Chavos HaLevavos is making. When a person is lonely, when a person is not surrounded by family, a person is a loner, this person has opportunity for a more profound, a more intimate relationship with Hashem. V'yivtach alav b'geirusay. And he says more than that too. He says that trust Hashem in having set your life up like this. Meaning, again, objectively, the natural assumption is a person marries, a person has a wife, a person has children, a person lives in a family setting. We'll call that the default state. But just as with anything else, just as with parnasa, just as with health, just as with other matters of life, Hashem might tell a particular person, I have a different plan for you. For you, a different setting, a different life setting is what is ultimately best for you in my grand plan. And therefore, Chavos HaLevavos says, trust Hashem in that sense as well. Realize that in putting you into a place of a lonely existence, here also, it's like anything else where Hashem is doing this, tailoring your life in the best possible way according to his much broader vision of what's good for you. And now the Chavis HaMamas takes this a step further and he says, you know what? You have a commiserator in the neshama itself. The neshama is also lonely and isolated and on its own in this world. And then he says further, and note also, you can kind of look with amusement on the rest of the people of this world. Like the pasuk says, you are all just foreigners and strangers here in this world with me. And think to yourself, look at the other fellow who's part of a large family, well-connected, etc. Hey, you know what? The difference between me and him is only fleeting. Because Adzman Muat Yoshuv Nochri Boided. Soon he too is going to be a loner all by himself. What's he referring to? He's referring to the grave. All of a person's connections don't accompany him there. He goes there all by himself. And then you have to fare. Oh, we're getting a request here. If everyone just keep track of muting yourself. Okay. And then you will have to fare on your own. By yourself. Any family connections are not going to help. When you make your way up to Olam Haba, you make that walk to the Beis Din Shel Malos on your own. And this is what the lonely person should tell himself. Not much of a difference between me and them. It's only something quite temporary. Okay. At that point, it won't help if you have successful children, you know, or relatives that kept you well connected in this world. Next world, once you pass the threshold, you're on your own. I don't know if I can. The one telephone number that you see that's not muted is the one I'm speaking in. I don't know what else. Okay. Okay. So that's point number one, that the Chayes Halvavis is saying that really everyone ultimately are going to be foreigners and loners. But now he makes another point. He says, he's going to say something that we would consider almost like a wrong thing to say. But it's a bold thing. The Chavis of Abbas is saying it. He says, another thing to consider is that a life of a loner has advantages. What's that? Listen to this. Isn't this like a bold thing to say? A person who has family is encumbered by all kinds of duties, all kinds of commitments, all kinds of burdens that a person who has no family is not encumbered by. Now, we would say, isn't that a terrible thing to say? That's the way to relate to family? But you know what the Chavis HaLavis is saying? To the person who doesn't have family, let's face it, you know what? For the person who doesn't have family, that's an advantage in his life. For the person who does have family, the advantage is the fact that he has these commitments. For the person who has no family, the advantage is the fact that he's exempt from these commitments and from these encumbrances. Again, had we not seen this coming from an authority like the Chavis HaLavis, we would think that this is a terrible thing to say. But he's saying it. He's saying it, that this is something that the person, well, Lamaisa, Hashem set him up this way, this actually is a point for him to appreciate. And he says, yes, consider this a benefit that Hashem provided you with. Now again, it's not to say that the person with the family shouldn't appreciate the advantages of the family. On the contrary, that we might say more simply. But he's saying, yes, let's be honest and note the other side of the coin too, that a person who's not encumbered by family actually has the advantages of being free of those commitments. And again, in this situation that Hashem put him in, can view that as a toiva of Hashem. Okay, we're in mid-sentence and a very delicate point, but we'll stop here.
Thank you very much.
Bruchim to you.